Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And good morning. My name is Phil Vacchio.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Dave.
Phil and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combo of us is here every single weekend. Sometimes it is us. And
sometimes.
The combo is literally us. And we're here every weekend talking to you about estate planning and elder law. Really incredibly important things, and we try to find, I think, clever ways to talk about them.
Creative, clever.
Because otherwise, geez, it's a tough topic.
It could be a little dull sometimes, right?
Right.
We don't want to be repetitive.
Don't give yourselves enough credit. Oh, it's always interesting.
We were fishing for credit. We just got it. Thank you, John.
Okay, there you go.
Well, the information is very dense, John, right? It's, you know,
that's a lot of stuff.
Explain it in different ways.
Oh, yeah. But you explain it the way it should be, the way an average person would understand it.
Why, thank you.
That's what you got to do.
That's the goal.
That is the goal.
Absolutely. It is a call-in show. We had a caller yesterday. You were pleading for a caller. And you
last week.
Last week. Excuse me. 518-476-5900 is the number to reach if you want to be a caller, if you want to come into one of our, did I say four? I'll say four. Four offices.
Say it.
Kingston, Albany, Saratoga Springs, and now seeing clients as early as this week in Queensbury.
Yay!
You'll be the lucky recipient to be the first person seeing clients out of Queensbury this week, right?
That's true.
Very exciting.
You're up there in Lake George or something like that.
If you told 20-year-old me that one day I would be living in upstate New York near Lake George, doing what I kind of want to do, I'd say get out of here.
Yeah.
But it happened.
But it happened, yeah.
Amazing stuff.
Right? That's a cool thing when things work out that way, right?
Yeah.
It's a good feeling.
It's amazing.
All right, so we have some snow coming in, guys.
Well, hold on, John, one second.
If you want
to come in, you got to call us. You can't just show up.
That's right, I'm sorry.
We're not just some sort of, you know, walk-in
clinic.
Yeah, you got to call us, and it's 518-465-7581.
You have to forgive me. I had too much coffee this morning.
He's all hyped up about the snow coming.
One of those mornings,
you know? Well, it's exciting. There's weather.
Well, a little bit of weather. I mean, a lot of people have been wondering what the heck is going on with the storm that's coming up from the south of us.
Can you point out
headed
that
into the capital region, and by tomorrow afternoon and evening, we'll start to see the snow. Albany South, 4 to 7 inches by, like, say, 5 a.m. Monday morning. Albany North, 2 to 4 inches. Mm. Okay, it's that light, fluffy snow, so it should be easy enough to move, but that's just an update as of now. And as you know, anything can change.
And then it gets cold.
Oh, after that, yeah, the bitter cold, that's not going to change. That's coming in. Arctic air.
What I've learned
coming in for Monday.
I've learned since moving up here, if you don't remove your snow almost immediately when it gets cold, you're going to have a nice sheet of ice, and you're stuck with that for a long time.
Yeah, you got to do it.
So. Well, the part of it will melt, then it'll freeze for about a week and a half or whatever it's going to be.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah,
at least. Yeah.
So watch out for that.
Get out there. Shovel your snow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that's my report, guys, and thank you for the time.
Thank you, John.
Of course.
Very important.
So, Phil, this past week, you had a seminar.
I did.
I heard it was good.
It was great. It was great. Clifton Park Library. We had a few listeners from the show show up.
All right.
Which is always great.
Sign autographs?
Of course. Yeah. Shaking hands, signing autographs. That's how it goes.
Signing autographs.
Some from our TV ad. People are starting to see us more on our
TV ad. It's a great ad. It's on all the time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
It's good. But yes, it went very well. A lot of good questions. I love the in-person format. You know, just a different feel to it.
Yeah.
Radio's great too.
It's nice when you're explaining something to someone and they react in some way that you can then react to, like, oh, I should talk more about this.
Yeah.
Or they got it.
Yeah.
Or, wow, that's a face I don't want to see. I really need to explain this a different way.
Or you see it hits a chord, they're nodding, right? You can kind of gauge their reaction and how they're responding to it. So I like that format. But it was great. So.
And it was New Year's resolutions. And, get an estate plan, figure it long-term care.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Estate planning basics, what to have, what to think about in the future and now. So, went very well.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
We should be doing more of them as the weather, it's a bad time to talk about it since it's apparently going to snow, but as the season starts to turn, I think you'll see a lot more in person out there, which is really great for us to talk about what we do.
We have a lot geared up for the early spring and beyond, so a lot of you have a few coming up, don't you?
There's some continuing education stuff. It's too long to kind of read out, but we'll, you know, if ever you're interested, our website and going online, you know, liking us on social media and stuff, you could keep track of things.
Always things going on. Yeah. So I had a few consultations recently that were
I'm happy about that.
You like that?
Yeah,
good. Yes, consults every day, but they turned into business. But it was interesting because they were very similar and not similar at all. So I'm going to call this segment "A Tale of Two Cases." How's that?
As a Charles Dickens
big fan, right?
Yeah, of course.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
The best of fact patterns, the worst of fact patterns.
Exactly. You got it.
So what's going on?
So both scenarios were actually prior client of ours, and we did similar planning for each of them. Right. So we small nuclear families, nothing crazy going on. Your typical, we have a house, maybe one had another property, some other assets. We want to protect our assets, right?
How old are these? How old were they when they were previous clients?
Good question. So one previous client was very previous, only in the last year to a year and a half or so.
Okay.
Late 70s, early 80s, I would say.
Oh, so they came in a couple years ago, but they were still in their 70s or 80s.
Yeah,
and
they did basics. Nope. So they did the Medicaid Asset Protection Trust. A few years ago. Yep. And then the other one, they were around the same age, but they had seen us maybe 7 or 8 years ago and did very similar planning.
So they both have Medicaid trusts.
Yes. So the heart of the planning revolved around the Medicaid Asset Protection Trust that we talk about quite often, with the goals of protecting assets, if I get sick, and avoiding probate, and or everything we talk about every week. And they were both on board with that plan. They did that plan. The client that we only saw a year and a half ago or so happened to be one of my clients that I met with. And that client at the time, they were still, you know, there were signs of some dementia type symptoms from one of them. And
can I interject?
Becoming ill. Yeah.
Both married?
Sorry. Both married. So husband and wife in both cases, children in both cases.
Okay.
So again, very similar.
And the newer one, you had some feelings. You had some thoughts.
Yeah. So the new one that had some thoughts, you know, you could see that there was no need for care or anything like that, but you could see signs of a little cognitive decline from one of the spouses. But no need for care yet. They were totally fine. And we did the Medicaid Asset Protection Trust for the house in that scenario. So both of them come back within the same week, two separate clients. And go ahead.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
First question, how often can I interrupt you with
questions? As often as you like, if you feel the need for clarification.
Second question. I know I've been in meetings like that.
Yeah.
And sometimes the spouse, that's okay, like signals to you a little bit, like, you know, they raise their eyebrows or something when the wife or husband says something that's a little off topic or,
sure,
or, you know, and so was there a kind of acknowledgement from the other spouse that maybe husband or wife is kind of going somewhere here?
Yeah. Well, in this case, we kind of had an idea ahead of time. Whoever made the appointment kind of explained the situation that one of them had cognitive decline a little bit there, or they were seeing initial signs.
Okay.
But yes, even during the meeting, and the spouse with the cognitive decline was acknowledging of it. It wasn't a case
where... Okay, that's great.
It wasn't denial. I know I'm starting to slip and I want to plan accordingly, which is, it makes it a little bit easier on our end because sometimes we do see denial and I'm completely fine. I don't need to plan.
Yeah, and it's not like you walk in and you say, okay, so I hear that one of us has dementia.
That's how I lead. But no, you don't lead that way.
Never, ever.
No. So
okay,
it was,
sorry to cut you off.
But yes, it was a very open book situation. Everyone was on board with the plan. So in that case, unfortunately, there was an event that happened. Again, a year and a half after we did that planning. And that event turned to an incredibly significant decline where nursing home is completely inevitable.
Was it a fall? Was it a...
Yeah, it was some kind of... I figure if it was a fall or some kind of event landed in the hospital, they're not going to get better. They can't care for this spouse slash parent at home. And so in this case, it was inevitable. They needed to stay in a nursing home, and despite their best interests of wanting the father, in this case, in the home, they knew it wasn't practical, wasn't feasible.
So, like, fast forward button was pressed, and all of a sudden we're way ahead. Same amount of time has gone by.
Much faster than they anticipated, right? And it wasn't just because of the natural progression of the disease. It was actually an event, probably in combination, that it exacerbated the situation.
Yeah, and you just never know when these things happen.
No, you can't. You can't tell.
And we see this a lot where someone is fine or pretty good, and then there is a fall, there is maybe a stroke, there is some medical event, some physical event, and all of a sudden they come out of it a different person, whereas some of the things that were lying beneath the surface are now on the surface.
Yeah, they come up and it's very apparent and obvious. So I'll come back to that in a minute. Right, I'm going to just...
So I'm going to say that that's not the best of times.
That's the worst of times.
That's the worst of times.
That's the worst of times, yeah. Right, so switch to the other case, Dave.
Yes.
So we have that. This case was the one that we did planning prior. They were younger when they did the planning, in even better health, and maybe it was 8 or 9 years ago. I don't know the exact many years.
Best of times.
It's the best of times. And, well, not quite the best of times, because this person now, similar, very similar, like I said... one of the individuals, one of the creators of the plan of the trust, now needs nursing home care as well.
Okay.
Again, similar scenario in terms of some kind of event, and they're not coming home. It's very clear. So the difference, the main difference here, is the time in between the initial planning when they did the trust. Right, one is only about a year and a half ago. One is 8 or 9 years ago. Similar type of planning, almost identical in sense. But now it turns into a very different scenario about how do we deal with this. So both are coming to our office for advice. This is the situation. You guys will know what we did. Your firm did it for us. What do we do now? And because of how things shook out, the plan is actually very different. And on one hand, the plan is a lot more complicated than on the other hand.
So
So
it sounds like it's the make the best of times as opposed to the best time, because stuff is going to happen, and so you got to plan for it and so on, and age old tale. I'm curious if the one who did more planning ahead of time is going to have more home options than the one that didn't, or are we just in the situation where if they both need a nursing home, that's what's going to happen, but there's a big difference as to what's protected, what's potentially not protected.
And that can be the case sometimes. And in this case, there's no question.
They're both going to need the same care, but the payment or the hoops we have to jump through, whether we're doing a spousal refusal in the worst case scenario that you were talking about, or whether it's just, hey, everything's already protected and we'll find the best facility for you and we'll go from there.
Well, exactly. Right. So we know that it's very clear they're staying, and it's very clear that we want to see what's the best option. How can we get Medicaid? How can we get the government to pay for this new care that we need? Because we know nursing homes are very expensive. You say $18,000 or so a month on average around here. So nobody wants to privately pay that until all their money is gone. So in scenario number one, which is not the ideal scenario, well, we did this trust. We put certain assets into the trust, but it was only a year and a half ago. So we talk about the five-year look back all the time. And with the initial planning, the intent was, well, we see husband, dad is starting to have some decline, but he's completely fine. He's still totally competent, has no need for assistance with activities of daily life, nothing like that. So very feasible.
I'd say, Phil,
very feasible within the 5 years.
That fact pattern, they did the best they could as of seeing you.
Absolutely.
It's just, we wish they saw you earlier.
We always say hindsight's 20/20. You don't know what's going to happen.
It's not like that you talked about a trust, they said, yeah, and then years later they finally did it, and now we really are faced with this awful decision that was made.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like that. They did the best plan they could at the time. They didn't do anything wrong, but because of this triggering event, situation changed much more quickly and drastically than they thought it would, and they were very scared that we can't do anything, right? Which is not the case. So in a case like that, we do have to undo that initial planning. So that trust hasn't, as we call it, worked in the sense of protecting the assets. The 5 years hasn't passed, but there's still things we can do. Undo that trust first. Transfer everything back to undo an event in the last 5 years that would have made him not Medicaid eligible. And I know we're coming up to the break.
We need to open that up.
We'll pause there, but we'll open that up when we come back.
We'll be right back with this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. It's story time with Phil Vacchio.
Welcome back to story time. Hope you're all paying very close attention.
May I summarize your story thus far? And let's see if I was a good listener.
Give me the cliff notes.
Okay. So Phil had these two fact patterns that came in, and they were long-term care fact patterns, meaning we need care now. Both instances were existing clients. Mm-hmm. Both instances, they did trusts. One of them did it really recently, within 5 years. The other one did it outside of 5 years. And while they both may need the same kind of care, what we need to do to get Medicaid to cover their appropriate share, because we've all paid into Medicaid our whole lives, is going to be drastically different for one than the other. And then, Phil, you were saying, mm-hmm, for the more recent fact pattern, the trust that you created a year, 2 years ago, you got to undo that stuff now because it is within the 5 years.
Correct. So the ideal scenario when we did the planning was at least five years would pass before needing any kind of nursing home care. And remember, the five-year look back only applies to nursing home care. So a lot of times we'll look to see if home care is an option. In this situation, it just wasn't.
And it's too bad because there are lots of fact patterns where
there are.
When there's that event or that fall and then there's the rehab, we're trying to cobble together a plan to keep dad back at home.
Yeah.
And hopefully it works. And yeah, we want to get through 5 years, but also we just want dad to be home. You know?
Yeah, and that's usually everyone's goal. But in some cases, it's just obvious that that's not a real feasible option. It's not safe, whatever the case is.
Yep.
Couldn't happen here. So, yeah, so the initial ideal plan didn't work as we hoped it would. But not all is lost. So we had in the situation, like I mentioned before, a husband and wife. The husband's the one that's going in. The wife is still alive and well, you know, no issues with her. So what do? We undo the plan initially. We undo the trust, transfer the assets back to them, and then we transfer to the well spouse, get the sick spouse on Medicaid, right? All that's allowable. And we were able to do that. So the assets are not really at risk right now. And we got the husband on Medicaid, which is great. Everyone's applaud. Yay, yep. Okay, that's great. Now, the negative there is we go back and we do additional planning for wife now. And we do, because she's still alive, she's still well.
Well, she has her own 5 years to worry about.
Exactly right. So we also are concerned, we were able to use this exemption to a transfer to a spouse. It's a one-time exemption, though, right? Because if the second spouse now gets sick, there's no well spouse to transfer assets to. So we still want to plan for that second spouse if she gets sick in the future. We go back and do a very similar plan that we did the first time, but now it's one, wife's trust only. After the husband's on Medicaid, we transfer everything that we had in the existing trust into this new trust. But that starts the five-year clock over for the wife now. So she has to stay healthy. So not an awful, it's not as great as option A, where everyone both were healthy for 5 years, that trust completely protected the assets in it, but not a bad situation. We were able to get Medicaid still, right?
Yeah.
And now we've done this additional planning for the well spouse, and hopefully this round of planning does work and she stays healthy for the
time. I'd say, Phil, we're not, with Dickens' analogy, it's not the worst of times because it actually can be far worse. And that wife, for the husband who's been diagnosed with something, she is the most important person in the world. Without her, there's no chance he's going to stay at home. Without her, there's no chance we could save all the money because we can't do moving money out of the trust back to her, and so on. And that's when you have a spouse that spouse is your safety net when it comes to long-term care fact patterns, because our options as attorneys to just, okay, let's just get dad situated in the nursing home is going to be so much easier because a spouse exists.
It is. And additionally, with the spouse who's ill, you know that he would have wanted to make sure that his wife is still cared for, still has enough assets, and sure. Doesn't lose everything. So it's a win on both sides still. It's just not the ideal scenario we wanted initially. But we were still able to make it work.
Imagine if the fact pattern was a little more, dark, and actually husband, we had to go to rehab for some reason, but during that time, wife passed away. Holy cow.
Right. Much
now
different scenario.
We're not through 5 years.
Yep.
We don't have a spouse to ping pong money to, right? He still may need a nursing home, but now he'll be in that same room, but there'll be some financial ramifications where we're going to do cartwheels just because we saved half their money.
Yeah.
Right. Meaning we didn't save the other half, as opposed to that other fact pattern where they just did things ahead of time. And I'm hoping that the additional facts on the people who came in 8 years ago is that they appropriately funded their trust.
Absolutely.
So they didn't just put a house in it. They put stuff in it.
It did. In this case, they did. And so, switching to that scenario now, it was just a much easier case where the plan that we had created, the requisite amount of time, the five-year look back had passed. We didn't have to undo the trust. All the assets that were in the trust were protected. You don't put all of your assets in the trust. So in this case, we still had to move some things to the well spouse just to get the sick spouse on Medicaid. But all those assets are in that trust are protected now, even if the second spouse gets sick. So the application in that sense was much smoother. We didn't have to undo the trust. Similar result for the immediate now.
Yeah.
But, different for the future potentially. I mean, hopefully in the first case, it all works out anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say it all kind of stinks regardless because we're dealing with reality of life and everything. But I think planning ahead of time, whatever that plan will consist of, because maybe for other people it won't be a trust and it'll be some other kinds of planning or, making sure you have right beneficiaries, whatever it may be. The whole idea is we want to raise your floor.
Mm-hmm.
So the worst case is not as worse as it could have been, right? It's not as bad as it could have been. Raise that floor. We're never going to make things, wonderful. We're going to make things as good as we possibly can. And unfortunately, money talks. And the more tools you have, the more Medicaid eligibility in your pocket you have, the easier it's going to be to get qualified for help. The more home care options there may be, the more nursing home options there may be as well.
Yeah, we're planning for all negative events. We're planning for worst case scenarios.
And it's going to snow tomorrow.
And it's going to snow. Just what a dismal show today. We don't want those things to happen. But the whole point is that if they do happen, we've done the requisite planning. There are options. So, two big takeaways, A, the difference between the two cases shows the advantage of planning earlier. And obviously, we can never anticipate when things are going to happen. It doesn't always work out as we intend. But the second takeaway here is there are always options, right? Yeah. So if plan A didn't work, well, guess what? We do have a plan B. Mm-hmm. We have even a plan C and maybe even beyond. Yeah. Now, each successive plan might be a little less financially beneficial than the plan before it, but it's never is all is lost. It's not, we don't come across a situation like that unless, someone just doesn't come and see an attorney and find their rights. They just, lose everything and never get their options. So
and not just an attorney. It's got to be an elder law estate planning one. And, and we are certainly not the only ones in the neighborhood here. But you go to a professional that does this.
I mean, I have an example from yesterday. I had a client come in, just wanted me to help them fund their mother-in-law's trust. They knew me from the past. Hey, Phil, can you just help us? We need to do a deed to transfer this property in your area to my mother-in-law's trust. Sure, I can help with that, right? I have to see the trust. Yeah. I have to see the deed to be able to do that. And they sent over the trust. And guess what, Dave?
What?
The trust was not properly drafted to protect assets.
They were their own trustee, or it was the wrong kind of trust or something?
They had access to principal. Yeah. They were able to access the assets. For multiple reasons, it would not protect assets. I haven't yet found out, if it was an attorney that drafted it or if they printed something offline. But they thought, I asked them, what are your goals of this trust? Is one of your goals to protect the assets? Oh, yeah. If she goes into a nursing home, I want to protect their assets. And
I said, I'm sensing, John, that they're from Long Island. Something told me that.
Because all my Long Island friends, they still call me.
The accent came out immediately.
Does it come out more when
you did such a good Long Island accent.
I don't know how. I'm just...
You hide it the rest
comes,
of the
It comes
time.
Naturally.
It's just there, yeah.
But so, yeah, I had to tell these individuals, we have to have a further... I'm not doing a deed to this trust. We have to have another conversation. Because they didn't see the right kind of attorney, or they maybe did it themselves. I don't quite know.
I almost feel like what's worse than not having a plan is having a false sense of security about the thing you put in place and not understanding it, and thinking you're good and it turns out you're not good. Those conversations are awful.
Well, how many times have you seen the crestfallen or even angry face of someone when you break it to them that what they thought was the case for years is not the case. What do you mean this trust doesn't protect my assets? What are you saying to me?
We probably have enough time. Let me tell you the one time that the clients that we met with were angry,
all the emotions.
So they came in to see us. It was the kids, and they came in to see us because they couldn't keep private paying for mom's nursing home. So number one, I'm like, okay, you didn't have to always be private paying, and we could have always done something.
Yeah.
And what it turned out happened is that they, over, you know, about a year, private paid a nursing home. The nursing home said, when you're down to about 40, 30 grand, call an attorney and they'll help you prepare Medicaid applications.
So we met with them. Bad advice, first of all.
Yeah. and then Mike from our office, one of our amazing Medicaid paralegals.
Superstar.
He asked the question that changed everything. He said, have there been any past gifting from mom? And they said, what do you mean? He said, in the last 5 years, has mom given any money to anyone? And they went white because mom gave them over the 5 years a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Yeah. Okay,
one of them paid off their own mortgage. Oof, one of them paid for some kids' college.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And we had to tell them, not only have you private paid for the last year, but you're about to private pay for a longer period of time because Medicaid's going to penalize mom for these gifts.
Yeah.
And the awful reality, Phil, was that if they had come to us right when she needed the nursing home, without getting into the details, we could have used the current money to make up for the previous gifting.
To offset that previous gifting.
And so that's where, you know, you get some bad information, and I kind of get it sometimes where, you know, maybe I don't get the, you know, your mechanic's friend's neighbor said something and you're going to treat that as gospel. But when you go to a hospital and the discharge planner says there's no way your mom can go home, you're going to probably assume they're right, but they may not be.
They may not be. Or if the nursing home tells you don't see an attorney until you're down to $40,000, you can say, well, they must know what they're talking about. They're in this industry.
They're in the industry, that's for sure. They're not in the legal side, though.
And they're also, their job is not to look out to protect your parents' assets, right? It's not their role.
So back to the tale of two estate plans, which, wonderful job, by the way. That's I love it. I would say almost both of them created their trusts a little later than I would have, because both of them sound like they did them in their 70s.
They did. They were both a little bit older than we normally will advise clients to consider this planning and do the planning if it's appropriate. But that doesn't mean it was too old, because we don't know. And it did work for one, and it may still work for the second. Remember, it's just that we had to do some additional gymnastics here to make the current situation work and change the plan a little bit.
It depends on what game you play at the casino. And if you don't go to the casino, then you got to act earlier, because it's all a level of gambling about your health, about the future, whatever God's plan is. And certainly that fall or whatever event happened to that gentleman, that changed everything.
It did. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.